The late Bea Gatty had such a reputation for helping others, she earned the nickname the Mother Teresa of Baltimore. And so it's appropriate that we start our story here on Chester Street in Baltimore at a building that bears her name.
We're at the Bea Gatty Family Centers, and what we do here is provide a pantry, food pantry and shelter for needy people.
Cynthia Brooks is Bea Gatty's daughter. She's the director of the Bea Gatty Family Center. And her mission depends on the dedicated service of AmeriCorps members, people like Mike Snowden.
It's just an awesome experience. I came here in May. I found out about AmeriCorps, and Miss Cynthia Brooks asked me my expertise in landscaping, which I have, to come on board with them and be a part of this, and I was just honored to do it.
Snowden is part of a team that's renovating the vacant lot next to the Bea Gatty Family Center. He's getting ready to plant grass and trees and flowers to turn the space into a meditation garden.
And it's coming out fantastic.
The highlight of this outdoor work in progress is a 15-foot-tall mural that's turned a gray cinder block wall into a technicolor image of hope. A bounty of brightly painted grapes spills from a larger-than-life hand. AmeriCorps member Allison Duggan is the driving force behind the mural, but she says the image is not her idea.
It started with taking a couple of children from the shelter to the Walters Art Museum, exploring the art there, exploring memorial work there, and it's just taken off. It started off with one child who felt a connection to a painting, paired it with Bea Gatty's words, and has inspired all of this.
Duggan's AmeriCorps service is actually part of her school curriculum. She's earning an MFA in Community Arts at MICA. Today, her academic mentor, MICA faculty member Paula Phillips, is on site, paintbrush in hand, helping to touch up the mural.
This is a very rigorous program, the MFA in Community Arts, and combined with AmeriCorps, that's double duty. So not only do they have the AmeriCorps requirements to fulfill the 1,740 hours, they also have an MFA, a master's degree to earn, that has requirements that are just as stringent.
Fellow MICA Community Arts student and AmeriCorps member Kai Miles says she likes learning about theory in the classroom, but she says until you take it with you into the real world, that's all it is, theory.
The one thing that is the focal point of our program is to take what we learn and the dialogue that we have in class and apply it. And so you learn about your mistakes, you learn about your triumphs, and then you're able to come back to the drawing board actually using those things in a tactical way. And I'm continuing to learn that because I'm going into my second year.
Kai's AmeriCorps service site is called Baltimore United Viewfinders. She teaches kids how to do photography and film and graphic design. This program was created about 4 years ago by another AmeriCorps member, MICA graduate Ann Kotliba. Baltimore United Viewfinders has come into its own as a sustainable nonprofit since then, with Kotliba as the director. In a sense, her class project has become her career.
I think AmeriCorps in general is a really safe way of entering into these possible career paths where you have a team around you. You have people that are kind of going through this with you, and you have site supervisors who are there and kind of have built that foundation for you to be able to excel. And I encourage a lot of my young people that I work with to think about it as an option also.
From WYPR, this is The Signal. Our tour of current AmeriCorps service sites here in Maryland takes us now to Northeast Baltimore. We're listening to the voice here of 19-year-old Agut from Ethiopia. She's singing a song from her home country, standing in the hallway of the International Student Education Center at Northeast Middle School on Moravia Road. What does it do for your heart to sing that song? Does it make you miss home?
A lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it nice to be around other young people and kids who are from other countries and they're away from home too?
Yeah, because it makes me feel a little better. Because it makes me think it's not only me left my country, so there's other people too.
Agut is one of several teenage youth workers at a program for about 50 elementary school kids. It's run by RYP, the Refugee Youth Project. Agut has been here in the U.S. for about 4 years. Some of the younger kids have been here less than a year.
Say hello.
Hello.
What's your name?
Mustafa.
Where are you from?
Iraq.
My name is Isa.
How old?
Me? Yeah. I'm 7.
Where are you from?
Sudan.
This program is a place for vulnerable young new arrivals to the U.S. to adapt, socialize, learn English, and play soccer.
So find your classrooms and then we're going to serve lunch.
Alyssa Goudros is with a nonprofit called Soccer Without Borders.
So soccer is used as that vehicle, the hook that engages the students. So by using that one tool and that one piece, we get to hook many students into the program. And then we kind of do, in a sneaky way, we go, now we're going to do your homework. And now we're going to work on English. And now we're going to focus on what does your family need.
As an AmeriCorps service member, Goudros has learned an essential truth about volunteering.
I know when I'm giving to other people, I'm also receiving from them, and I'm so grateful for that, that it's not just about me and it's not just about them, but it's about that collaboration and working together. And I think that's something that volunteerism has allowed me to be able to capture.
That same spirit is what's kept Claire Shreve engaged for 3 consecutive terms of AmeriCorps service as an arts programmer with RYP.
I've really found like a good place, and I feel like my work is valued, and I've grown professionally and also just emotionally and mentally through these years of service.
It's so exciting to know that, at least in part, you know, the work that we did helped them, even though they are just incredibly resilient and intelligent and awesome people.
Mora Fratantuono has seen the kids here grow up. She worked at this RYP site as an AmeriCorps member in 2008 and 2009 through the Community Arts Collaboration when she was a student at MICA.
My time in AmeriCorps was a great way for me to apply the theories and best practices that I was learning about in the classroom and really deconstruct a lot of the things that I had been learning about theoretically but needed to sort of have some real-world application and understanding of.
My name is Veneri. I'm from Congo.
Okay, my name is Eve, and I'm from Rwanda, and my age is 11.
My name is Sandrine. I'm from Rwanda.
How old are you?
9.
My name is Ansuwa.
Where are you from?
I'm from Nepal.
How old are you?
I'm 8 years old.
And what is your favorite food?
Banana.
What's your favorite food?
Pizza.
Pizza?
Chicken.
Chicken?
Fries.
Frogs? Really?
No, fries.
Oh, fries. Okay, French fries.
Yeah.
Vegetables.
You're tuned to The Signal on WIPR. I'm Aaron Henkin. We're touring around to some of the AmeriCorps service sites in Maryland on this, the 20th anniversary of the National Service Organization. The program was created under the Clinton administration in 1993, inaugurated a year later, and since then, more than 21,000 citizens in Maryland alone have completed terms of service, totaling more than 28 million hours, helping others. Next up on our radio tour, 1947 Pennsylvania Avenue in Baltimore, home to Jubilee Arts.
My name is Jordan, and I'm 9 years old. And I made this piece of me playing soccer, and my real soccer number is number 1, so I put number 1 on my t-shirt.
About a dozen kids crowd around an art table in this second floor studio space to show off their glazed ceramic sculptures. It's their first look at their finished work since the masterpieces were fired in a kiln.
Our youth are always here. They come early. They want to stay late because they just love being here.
Nora Howell is the program director at Jubilee Arts. She started here as an AmeriCorps member in 2010 through the MICA Community Arts Collaboration Program. She's learned that to be a community artist, you have to be an artist. And just about everything else, too.
A community artist is also a counselor, a friend, a community organizer, a fundraiser. And so the skills that are required for being an effective community artist demand a lot more out of you than a traditional fine artist.
Well, it was kind of like being thrown in the deep end of the pool.
That's how Emily Chow Bluck describes her arrival here at Jubilee Arts as an AmeriCorps service member. Emily is a MICA community arts student who's been serving as an artist in residence at this site for the past year. And things continue to surprise her.
So many new things pop up every day. Like sometimes it's little things, like sometimes the sink is totally clogged and doesn't work, or sometimes one child is having a bad day and then makes the whole classroom a mess. But in the end, the youth are learning a lot in this space that we're trying to create with them.
So AmeriCorps is generally known as the Domestic Peace Corps.
Julie Mendez, Outreach Manager at the Governor's Office on Service and Volunteerism.
And that type of service can include tutoring, it can include building trails in state parks, it can include one of our programs recruits volunteers. So there's a myriad of opportunities that AmeriCorps members can do and serve in, but it's really about giving back to the community and making a positive impact.
I have realized that there aren't many people in the United States who are familiar with AmeriCorps. Most of them are familiar with the Peace Corps, so we always use the Peace Corps in order to reference what we do as AmeriCorps members. So we always tell them we do exactly the same stuff like Peace Corps members. The only difference is that we are serving in the United States, while Peace Corps members are serving out of the United States.
This is Fiem Njongo. He's an AmeriCorps member serving at the Bossman Center for Conflict Resolution in Maryland's Eastern Shore. Fiem grew up in a small town in Cameroon, and he remembers admiring the American Peace Corps workers who came there when he was young. So when he came here to the U.S. for college, he heard about AmeriCorps, and he says it just felt right to join up and return the favor, so to speak. So he's working now as a mediator, helping folks resolve their disputes amicably. He says sometimes the task can be daunting.
I remember actually co-mediating a landlord-tenant dispute in which the moment all the participants walked into the room, there were about five of them, and they started telling us what brought them to mediation. One of them immediately said, "I'll be damned if we walk out of here with something." Towards the end, the very same person was like, "Wow, how did you all do this?"
Really, it is helping people have difficult conversations that they might not otherwise have. If you wanted to boil down the whole community mediation movement into two words, it's that relationships matter.
Hope Braveheart is the AmeriCorps Program Director for Community Mediation Maryland. Her job is to find good mediators from all walks of life.
We're looking for diversity in gender, socioeconomic diversity, age diversity, racial diversity, sexual orientation. The more tools we have in the tool chest, the better we'll be to serve the community.
Knowing that I'm actually giving back and not taking away from my community, and I'm actually helping people and not harming them, that builds me up and it allows me to be a better person. So.
Cornell Anderson took his first mediation training when he was in prison. After serving his sentence, he signed up to serve with AmeriCorps. Anderson has served the past 2 years at the Community Mediation Center on Greenmount Avenue, right in the middle of his old neighborhood.
Even when I walk out the door, I'm still not leaving community mediation because I grew up in this neighborhood. So everybody that sees me, now they look at me and they come to me and ask me questions. I mean, they used to ask me questions, but the question they ask me now is, how do I do this? How can I fix this? How do I go about straightening this out? Where the questions were different, they were negative questions in the past, but now it's a more positive outlook on who I am and what I want out of life, because when they see me, they realize like, oh, what he's doing has to be right. Knowing where he came from, I know that what he's doing is right. And when I speak to them, and when I see people in conflict up and down the streets, I stop them and I talk to them, and I give them what this person was saying. Well, this is what he actually was saying. So what did you hear? I'm allowing them to hear each other now. Instead of yelling and screaming at each other, they're actually talking. And now they're saying, well, you know, it's nothing. It's not about anything. So we're okay. You know, and then from there on, they build a relationship. So.
Currently, we're working with 21 organizations across the state of Maryland.
Laura Acetuno is the program manager with Volunteer Maryland. She supports AmeriCorps members and their supervisors with professional development and trainings.
So we're working with organizations that have after-school programs, a technology-focused organization in Baltimore City, environmental projects, really across the board. We're working with organizations that just want to provide services that support Marylanders.
So here's where we get into an interesting irony. Maureen Eccleston is director of the Governor's Office on Service and Volunteerism.
It's a really common misconception that volunteers are free, that people serve for free, and that it doesn't take any infrastructure to be able to have impact. What we know from decades of this kind of work is that it's not free at all to do this. And so if we want service to exist not just to enable people to feel good, but to really see a tangible difference, then we need to invest in it.
And when that investment is made wisely, Eccleston says, the returns are great. She points out a snowball effect. Her office funds 600 AmeriCorps positions a year, and those positions in turn attract an even larger group of effective volunteers. Take the case of Alex Palmer. Alex is a 26-year-old AmeriCorps member. He serves at a site in Greenbelt, Maryland. It's called the Chesapeake Education Arts and Research Society. Alex gets everyone from places like the University of Maryland to apartment condo associations to participate in community-driven action projects that improve the health of the Chesapeake Bay watershed. In other words, his job is to get other people to volunteer with him, and to do it well, and to enjoy it along the way. Here's Alex.
So the idea is you engage in direct service, whether it's a stream cleanup or, you know, invasive species removal or planting trees and native flowers. But also there's a learning and an educational element that goes along with it, whether that's learning about the native flora and fauna of where you live or learning about some of the environmental problems that might be taking place where you live, such as water pollution or erosion. So the service learning projects integrate a combination of that kind of direct service with the educational component right alongside it.
Like most of the other people we've met during this radio story, Alex Palmer originally signed on for a one-year term of service. But when the year ended, he signed on for another one, and then another. And like the other folks in this story, Alex is enthusiastic but humble. His voice and the others we've heard are the voices of people who have found purpose. No one is going to get rich living on an AmeriCorps stipend, unless you think very carefully about what it means to be rich.
This is the hardest, most rewarding program you could be a part of. But if you are up for a massive challenge that will leave a wonderful footprint on your community as well as yourself, then AmeriCorps is the program for you.
Last September marked the 20th anniversary of AmeriCorps. You can find out more about the organization online at nationalservice.gov/programs/AmeriCorps. You're tuned to The Signal, an original production of Your Public Radio in Baltimore.